Good evening, folks. We're on the Dr. Joe Show. We are talking about marijuana, which is legal in Massachusetts, but should it be? And we've had a lot of great discussion.
We have another call on the line. Nicholas is here from Boston. Nicholas, how can we help you?
Yeah, so I'm a pediatrician from Boston. I work with the Adolescent Substance Abuse Program at Children's, and I think this is a fantastic discussion. I want to thank you both, Dr. Boyd, Dr. Schrand. I wanted to offer both kind of some comments and maybe a question. The one thing is that I think that with marijuana, there's a lot of things that we really don't know. As you were saying just before, the marijuana that's on the streets now is so different from what it was in the past decades. And I, as a pediatrician, definitely worry when I hear parents saying, oh, it's just marijuana, it's not dangerous, it's less dangerous than alcohol or tobacco. I think there are risks that are real. We mentioned kind of risks of developing schizophrenia, but even kind of on a shorter term scale, marijuana does make anxiety worse for so many kids. It's kind of a short-term relief, but there's a bit of a rebound effect. And with a lot of the teens that I work with, they kind of don't really know that. So I think that the education piece around marijuana is so, so, so important. So for me, it's not so much about should we or should we not legalize. It's really about how should we do it and how should we make sure that we get as much information as we can get and transmit that information to kind of young people and families.
I think that's a great perspective, Nicholas. And I have to say that one of the things that I have been blessed with is the opportunity to see Dr. Joe Schrand's production of Drug Story Theater. And I think that programs like that are so valuable in terms of really reaching that teenage population and educating them and giving them a perspective on the concerns that they should have around marijuana. And what's frustrating to me is that at the same time that a 20% tax has been levied on future marijuana sales, you know, Drug Story Theater gets a paltry pittance amount of money. And yet those programs should be funded at a maximum level, and they should be replicated across the state and really across the nation, because there is a fundamental connection, at least at some level, between the transition between marijuana usage and the potential entry into the use of opioids. And right now, it just seems logical that you would take, if you're going to legalize this product, and that certainly is what's happened in Massachusetts and seems the direction that we're going, that in fact we then utilize a large portion of that money to actually provide that education and try to protect that adolescent population.
Well, I certainly am not going to argue with you, Jim. That would be wonderful to have that sort of funding come into Drugs for Theater. We've shown that it really works. I mean, we have the data to support how we can change the perspective of folks in a very short amount of time.
And I believe we still have Dr. Wes Boyd on the line. Dr. Boyd, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Generous of you, Dr. Boyd. With
yes,
your
you're
time.
Very
really
patient.
Appreciate that.
What perspective do you have on what Nicholas had to say?
Oh, I agree with almost everything he said. It's naive to think that marijuana is not potentially dangerous. I also think that anything that in the short term, like marijuana, like many drugs of abuse, anything that can calm people down in the moment while they're under its influence is going to lead to rebound anxiety, so that even though to a person, everyone I've ever seen who has smoked marijuana says, oh, no, it's great for calming me down, they will not hear that, in fact, it may be contributing to long-standing anxiety issues.
Absolutely. And one of the things from sort of a more psychological point of view is we find a lot of kids are using drugs or alcohol to avoid feelings, feeling angry, anxious, or sad. And they then go get stoned. And what we're finding is that they actually condition themselves. When they get triggered and they get those feelings, they go and use. But what they start to learn in programs like CASEL or Drugs Free Theater is that every time you're using to avoid a feeling, you're convincing yourself you can't deal with the feeling. And if you don't think you can deal with the feeling, you're going to be more angry, anxious, or sad. So they begin realizing they actually are creating some of the feelings that they're trying to avoid. And so that's part of why we're really hoping that they can get sober. Nicholas, one more thing. You had mentioned that you are now studying addiction. Can you tell us a bit about that? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I'm actually doing additional training as a fellow in pediatric addictions at Boston Children's. This is quite a unique program. I'm actually the first pediatrician in North America to do a kind of special program really looking at the impact of different drugs and substances in teenagers and also in younger children and even babies who are born from mothers with kind of drug problems. So I'm very excited to be here. I'm originally from Canada, where I did my medical training.
And I thought I recognized that, because I'm proud to say that Castle is actually going to be involved in this training. It is actually incredible. Dr. Boyd, I don't know if you know this, but Children's Hospital has the very first ever pediatric addiction medicine fellowship. And what I hope, people like Nicholas are going to be trendsetters, because we have to begin addressing this in the pediatric office without stigma, for getting people to say, you know, here's what's happening. And I hope that young pediatricians like Nicholas are going to be able to educate families, people. This is something that we just need to talk about. Let's talk about it more. But Nicholas, thank you so much
for
calling.
Nicholas.
Please keep tuning in. We appreciate your call.